Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Real Estate Tax Playbook, where we talk all things real estate, providing timely and precise tax information to real estate professionals looking to build their own customized tax planning playbook. I'm your host, Evan Ross. I'm a tax director with Brown Edwards & Company based out of our Roanoke, Virginia office. For those of you unfamiliar with Brown Edwards & Company, please go check out our website. A link to that website can be found in the description of this podcast. You'll find more information on our service lines as well as our locations and some of our other professionals. With all that being said, I would like to introduce to you our guest for today, Jacob Reeves, also with Brown Edwards & Company, based out of our Newport News, Virginia office. Jacob, thanks for being with us today. How are you?
Pleasure to be here. I'm doing pretty well.
Very good. Well, before we get into our topic for today, I'd love to just give you a chance to kind of give a background on what you do for the firm, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm a senior tax manager here in the Newport News office. My specialty is really partnerships, which involve a lot of real estate with that and doing M&A transactions and deep dives into the IRS code related to those. So usually your technical go-to, people call me from all across the firm.
Very, very good. Yes, of course. I've reached out to you a number of times and definitely appreciate what you do for the firm and that technical expertise. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into the topic for today. We're going to be discussing basis as it pertains to real estate. So Jacob, let's just kind of start from square one. I've purchased a new property. Can you just tell me what's my starting point? What is basis? Where are we starting from?
Yeah. So basis is really focused on that initial purchase price to start with. It's going to be what you paid for it, plus the cost you had to get that transaction done. So you're probably paying a lawyer and some things to get all those deeds recorded and going that route. So it's accumulating all that information, not just what you paid to the seller. One thing I do want to emphasize here from the get-go is it's really important to hang on to those basis records because they're going to impact things in the long run. Usually when you hear us talk about tax topics, the general rule of thumb is to hang on to things for 7 years after you file your tax return. Real estate is one of those exceptions. You really want to hang on to it for the entire time that you own the property and then probably 7 years after you sell it.
So potentially a lot of documentation we're holding on to. So you're emphasizing that we definitely want to hold on to this. As long as we own that property, we want to be compiling and holding on, not throwing away anything related to real estate.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the number one things every time someone sells is I'm asking for those documents that they have to go back and dig up.
Very good. Very good. So we kind of established what basis is. Can you kind of get into why is that important to a taxpayer? Why should they care about their basis?
Really, basis is going to drive two things. What you can claim is a deduction for depreciation over the time that you have that property, that you're either using it in your business or renting it out. The other piece that it's going to impact is when you go to sell it and how much your income you're going to pick up as taxable gain. So for example, if I buy a piece of property for $800,000 and I take depreciation over the time I have it of $250,000, I have a net basis remaining of $550,000. If I turn around and I sell it for $1.2 million, I'm going to end up paying tax on that sales price less the remaining basis of $550,000 for a taxable gain of $650,000. One big thing to note here is that I'm not necessarily talking about the cash you received in the transaction. You sort of get credit for having loans that you take out from the bank up front, so you can depreciate that even though you haven't quite funded it yet until you pay the bank back. But on the back end, you're also not going to get to reduce your gain by what you have to pay back to the bank to pay it off.
I think a lot of taxpayers can get that confused. They think just because they don't have any cash at the end of the day, they should not necessarily have to pay tax on the gain. Unfortunately, as we know, and as the IRS has stated, that is obviously not true, that you will be paying gain on that transaction.
So, yeah, that's probably the number one thing we have to explain to clients.
Yes. Love those phone calls. So it sounds like that sounds like a very basic explanation scenario. Obviously, there could probably be some adjustments to basis. Can you explain where there would be adjustments from that initial purchase price amount?
Yeah. So the most common answer to that is when you are having a change in the ownership of the asset, either due to inheritance or selling a piece of it and having an ownership change in that structure. Inheritance is actually going to step up the basis from the purchase price that the decedent had to what the fair market value is as of their date of death. It's really like you're hitting a reset button as of date of death. The concept also applies when it's owned through a partnership, which is most commonly a limited liability company or LLC. You kind of hear those interchangeably a lot of times, but LLCs are usually the avenue you're going. So when one partner passes away, their basis in the partnership interest is stepping up to the fair market value of their interest. Note I said the interest in the partnership is stepping up to fair market value. You're not, the real estate value is going to drive a lot of what that value in that partnership is, but you're not actually adjusting the real estate itself. So by default, it isn't going to be depreciable.
Very good. So you mentioned that that step up, that amount is not going to be depreciable. Is there any scenario where you would be able to depreciate that step up amount?
Yes. So tax loss does give us a mechanism to do that step up and assign it to the assets inside of the partnership. So it kind of pushes that in there. So there's specific circumstances where it's required. That's usually in the government's favor, not yours. But it is optional to do it when it's in your own favor. The downside is it's going to increase the complexity of your return and probably increase reporting requirements and the burdensome cost of doing that. In real estate, though, usually, as long as the appreciation is high enough and the ownership is high enough or the combination of the two, it's usually worthwhile to do that.
Very good. Yeah, you mentioned that election, that it can be more complicated. How is that election made on the tax return? What information do we need and how do we make that determination of what the step up is and how is it reported on the tax return?
Yeah, so that election is a one-time election for the partnership for the life of the partnership, and it's made on the filing of the tax return for which the ownership change occurs. It's just a quick white paper statement that we just attach and mark a couple boxes. So electing into it is pretty easy. It's the reporting and tracking going forward that adds some complication. So the basis adjustment is going to be calculated by comparing what the inside or previously taxed capital is inside that equity interest versus the fair market value of the equity interest. Colloquially, we just call that the step up. That's going to then be allocated across the partnership's assets based on comparing their fair market value to its inside tax basis. So a common misconception is that you would just take the step up and allocate it based on proportionate fair market value. But really, the goal of the step up is to eliminate any gain if, say, we turned around and sold it the next day. So in a scenario where a partnership has two parcels of real estate, each with basis of $1 million, but one is actually worth $2 million, we really want to push that step up entirely to the parcel that has the $2 million of value and $1 million of basis because it's appreciated. So if we turned around and sold that, we'd have no gain loss. If you just did it proportionate to the fair market value, you'd have one third going to an asset with no appreciation that would generate a loss if we sold it the next day.
Sounds like you definitely want to have a tax professional involved when there is a step up scenario when you're selling and moving property around. That would be your suggestion?
Yep. Yeah, you definitely do to make sure you get those allocations right. The partnership isn't going to alter its basis at the end of the day. It's just going to add an extra asset for you that we're going to assign specifically to that partner and track it going forward. The other thing that's going to get altered with that is the calculation of certain attributes, such as depreciation recapture.
Very good. You've mentioned reset a lot as we talk through that, this whole conversation. So ultimately, is that the goal when you're doing a step-up basis? You want to reset, if you will?
Yeah, that's the whole point of this, is that at that time, we're going to go in with fair market value, and that's what the basis needs to become.
So a lot of taxpayers will come to me, a lot of clients come to me, and they're debating between, hey, do I want to sell this property? Say this is an older taxpayer. Do I want to sell it? Do I want to wait and have a family member or someone else inherit this property? What is your take on that when you're dealing with some of your clients?
Yeah, so the first thing I'm going to say is I can give you a tax advantageous way to do it. Ultimately, it's going to be what you're personally comfortable with and what you want to happen. So once we kind of work through some of those non-tax details, I can run the numbers and tell you what makes sense. If tax is your main driver, that you don't want to pay estate tax and things like that, usually hanging onto that property in order to get the step up in value makes sense, because that is going to reset it once you pass away. So if you have you bought a piece of land for $10,000 that has vastly appreciated to say $900,000, it doesn't make sense to gift that before you pass away, because you're going to use up your estate exemption at the value of $900,000 and not get a step up versus if you had held on to it and let it pass as part of your estate.
Very good. Thanks for explaining that, because I think a lot of people, they just know they want to get rid of the real estate. They're tired of maintaining it and dealing with it when really they're not considering all the tax implications that may arise. So very good. Another misconception or something I just want to address is recapture. Can you kind of just briefly describe what recapture is and how that applies and impacts basis?
Yeah. So back when we said your acquisition cost is really driving that depreciation deduction, well, you get that deduction against ordinary income. What the IRS is saying, well, you got that deduction at ordinary. When you go around and sell it, you should really pick that back up at ordinary income. Real estate does get a special card out that we're actually going to take that most of the time, take that depreciation, and that is going to only be recaptured at a 25% capital gains rate instead of your ordinary income. Just, it's a real estate professional code that they got put in. So
yeah,
that worked pretty well.
Yeah, definitely a benefit you want to be aware of. So very good. Thanks for that explanation. I think that is kind of a common misconception that maybe people don't always understand. So we've mentioned document retention before previously. You mentioned that at the beginning of this conversation. How does that change when there's a change of partnership interest versus an inheritance?
Yeah, so a lot of that is going to be part of that recapture discussion. So remember that we're going back to and trying to hit the reset button. Well, if you pass away, that recapture that is associated with you should really just evaporate and never get picked up again. So it's vital that we hang on to that record to know how much of the depreciation was claimed prior to this transaction and this ownership change. So that way we can exclude it down the road. A lot of times when you're selling these properties, it's well past 7 years after you've done that ownership change. And we may not have the tax returns going back that far. So you want to make sure you're holding on to those records there.
Yep. And in a case where it's a new client or somebody that we haven't had that long, where they had a step up calculation years ago, 754 adjustment, what is the approach you typically take to those circumstances and scenarios?
Yeah. So if records aren't available, I kind of get with the clients and see what they're comfortable with. One option is that you're just going to make the whole thing subject to recapture. It's usually only a 25% rate versus 20% rate. So it's not a huge tax impact to them for them to avoid the risk. Others I've had where we'll go in and we'll say, okay, if this was the depreciation method we used, let's recalculate what we think it was as of this date and go from there.
Well, it's good that we at least have options. We're not just out of luck if we get to that point where then the client just does not have the documentation. So that's good to know. We've mentioned a number of ownership structures where it's owned by an individual or with property within a partnership. Are there any other ownership structures we should be aware of as it relates to basis and real estate?
Yeah. So most commonly you're going to see these in LLCs. By default, if there's only one member, it's going to be ignored for income tax purposes. So the IRS is going to treat you as owning that directly. If it's multi-member, it's by default going to be a partnership. So those are the two structures we've sort of looked at. You can have layers of those LLCs, but as long as they're disregarded, you kind of get that look-through treatment. Places you really tend to want to avoid holding real estate is in C corporations and S corporations. They don't get that look-through treatment. So a lot of times you end up having to wait until you actually liquidate the company, which may be years after you sell the asset to realize the step up.
Do you run into that very often where the real estate is within an S corporation or C corp?
Not frequently. Usually people have gotten with their tax advisors and lawyers are pretty good about putting it in the right kind of tax entity, but there are some old legacy ones that still exist out there.
Very good. Yeah, I see that occasionally, not very often, but just something to be aware of. If you are setting up a new entity, you want to make sure that property, that real estate is not in an S corporation or a C corporation. So very good. Well, thanks for sharing that information. Anything else that you'd like to add to this conversation just about basis and real estate? Anything that listeners should really be aware of?
Yeah, one thing is just getting with us early with your tax professional, because you may be making decisions with certain assumptions, even things we've talked about today, but it might be that when we run the numbers, the math doesn't make sense and it's not worth it. So having us kind of help you and guide you up front can help make sure you don't make decisions that have impacts that you're not aware of.
Very good. Well, thanks, Jacob. I appreciate it. There's a lot of good content, a lot of good information as it relates to basis. Please make sure to reach out to Jacob if you do have questions. I want to give him an opportunity to share his contact information if there are questions related to basis.
Yeah. So my email address is jreeves@vecpas.com.
Very good. Well, Jacob, again, thank you for being here today. That is a wrap for this episode of the Real Estate Tax Playbook. As always, I appreciate all of our listeners tuning in. If you'd like to hear more information on us, please visit our website, Brian Edwards & Company. You can find it in the description of this podcast. Also, please make sure to subscribe and listen to future episodes wherever you get your podcast. We will continue to push out quality information as early as we possibly can. Take care for now.